In judging the economic effects of a partial government shutdown, is this time different? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce should be delivering his annual address to American business right about now. He's proposing a solution to the government shutdown, more resources to protect the border, plus giving protection to dreamers who came to the U.S. illegally as children. According to prepared remarks, Tom Donohue will say government dysfunction, quote, saps confidence, threatens growth, and consequently poses a threat to opportunity. Many a Thursday, we consult Diane Swonk, the chief economist at the accounting and consulting firm Grant Thornton. I asked her about history showing the macroeconomic effects of previous shutdowns have been minor.
In the economic aggregates, the losses that are suffered by individuals get washed out. Even the employment losses that we will see in the month of January will eventually be revised away once those workers get paid retroactively. The Bureau of Labor Statistics will revise the data to say they're in their jobs in the month of January. That really gets into a different context of where we are today. Even though the economy is performing extremely well, uncertainty about economic policy, both in this country and abroad, has surged. It causes hesitation in decisions, and it's already caused delays in investment in the U.S. economy, and that could further compound the slowdown that we're looking at for 2019.
And that uncertainty is something that has to be reckoned with by the Federal Reserve as it sets interest rate policy. And later today, the Fed chair is going to speak and answer questions.
Exactly. And what we'll see from the Fed chair, Powell, is a further pivot, solidifying the Fed's flexibility in the face of uncertainty. They're looking at economic data points, which are few and far between given the shutdown right now, that look very good on the U.S. economy. But they know that the uncertainty has rattled financial markets and could actually take a toll on growth going forward, which means they have to be patient, cautious, and tread cautiously.
The chief economist of Grant Thornton, Diane Swonk, thank you.
Thank you.
The Ford Motor Company today announced a sweeping overhaul in Europe. The BBC's Bill Wilson is covering this. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So a shakeup at Ford in Europe. What do we know about Ford's plan today?
It looks like there's going to be thousands of job cuts on the cards across a number of plants in Europe. In fact, some plants could face closure, but they were not specific on the details on that front.
Right. Ford employs 54,000 people across Europe, about 13,000 of them in the United Kingdom. But what's the context here? It looks like profits were radically down last year for Ford.
Profits were down 82%, which is a huge figure when you think about it. Now, that was mainly due to the fall in the value of the pound following the Brexit vote we had here in 2016 for the UK to leave the European Union. Since then, the pound has lost a great deal of its value, which has hit Ford's profits badly. The other thing to be mentioned is that since probably 2010, maybe slightly beyond that, its share of the European car market has been in steady decline. And that's something they want to address without having to exit the European market totally.
The BBC's Bill Wilson in London. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, David.
Always have to think about this. Now, if you make profits in falling British pounds, say, they don't translate into as many U.S. dollars when you put them on the corporate books in the U.S. Lobster has been running cheap these days due in part to the U.S.-China trade war. Today, a report on another foodstuff that's seen as precious and dear that has also gotten weirdly cheap. Truffles, not the chocolates, but the musky fungus. The reason, lots of rain in Italy, Janet Babin reports.
Louise, let me have your knife.
I'm in the kitchen with prominent chef Jonathan Waxman at Barbudo, one of his New York City restaurants, getting a truffle lesson.
And this is how thin we slice it.
The golf ball-sized truffles look unappetizing. They're lumpy, veiny, one black, one white.
Now eat that.
The white is garlicky, the black more earthy. They resemble overgrown mushrooms, but Waxman says they don't taste like them.
They have their own density. They have their own... They're just the most amazing thing that we could possibly eat, except maybe caviar.
This delicacy is actually the fruit of a fungus. Truffles grow naturally under trees and feed off the roots. Until around the 1920s, Waxman says they were cheap and plentiful in France, Italy, and Spain. Now they can cost thousands of dollars a pound, with the really big ones auctioned off like fine art. Some truffles remain so pricey because nobody knows how to cultivate them. And we might be running out of time. Paul Thomas is a research associate at Stirling University in Scotland. His latest study predicts that climate change will kill off certain truffle varieties by 2071.
The results were really quite shocking, actually, and they were way more extreme than we expected.
Thomas based his work on 36 years of truffle production and weather data.
A lot of the decline we're attributing to a decline in rainfall.
And not just in southern Europe, where 90% of the world's edible truffles come from. A lack of rainfall last season also devastated the burgeoning truffle orchards of the U.S. Pacific Northwest.
All right, let's go. Come on, find it.
Where truffle dog company owner Alana McGee and her dog Lolo forage for truffles.
We had no rain during the fall, which is a time when the truffles actually really need rain in order to grow and mature.
McGee says dogs are best able to find the ripest local truffles that she says U.S. chefs are slowly starting to appreciate.
There's almost this like seaweed peat smell.
McGee has trained her dogs to follow that scent.
Is that yours?
When Lolo finds it, she squeals for a treat.
I know. Good girl.
Diners still have time to get their treat, at least this year. Black truffle season in the U.S. runs through April. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
We have a truffle recipe to pass along from that chef, Jonathan Waxman. It looks delightful, but unlikely to help with our cholesterol. It's at marketplace.org if you want to copy it down. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.